The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. You may have recalled this story last week, disturbing story last week. A 21-year-old Bangladeshi student named Quazi Muhammad Rezanul Ahsan Nafis was arrested for allegedly trying to blow up the New York Federal Reserve Bank. Nafis was a student at ASA College in Manhattan, at least according to paperwork, before he came to this small college in New York. He was studying cybersecurity at Southeast Missouri State University in Cape Girardeau. The manner in which this defendant came to the United States and his use of student visas is part of the story. And we wanted to explore the details of that since 9/11. We understand that the U.S. government is following very closely how student visas are administered in the United States. Joining us now is Barmak Nasirian, who's an independent consultant and former associate executive director of the American Association of Collegiate Registrars and Admissions Officers in Washington. Barmak, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How does the U.S. government focus on student visas from a place like Bangladesh? And when you read the details of this particular story, what struck you?
Well, I mean, the most striking aspect of it is one has to wonder how somebody in Bangladesh ever hears of Southeast Missouri State University. I mean, how does it come about that somebody would pick that particular institution? And there are historical patterns. If he happened to know somebody who had attended that institution or he had relatives in the area, that would make sense. In this instance, it appears that the student found Southeast Missouri State through a commissioned agent. And this is a practice that is increasingly becoming prevalent in higher ed, and it's a very regrettable one because it affects the integrity of the academic process itself. And obviously, in very rare occasions, one hopes, like this one, it can also have national security implications.
So you're saying that there are agents out there, brokers, who look for student visas and institutions that may have a sort of softer approach to U.S. government regulations and thereby will open their arms to someone who might otherwise invite suspicion. Is that what you're saying?
No, because I don't really believe any institution would knowingly risk this kind of a horrific act. The real issue is that institutions attempt to monetize the privileged position they have in terms of the role they're assigned to facilitate arrival of foreign nationals into the U.S. I mean, there are institutions that, historically, there have been for-profit institutions that basically cater almost exclusively to foreign nationals. I mean, you know, the U.S. government doesn't necessarily recognize, let's put it this way, they are unaccredited here in the U.S.,
but they are
recognized by Immigration Service for purpose of admitting foreign students. Now, this isn't to say they knowingly allow potential terrorists to come in, but it is to say that money may end up trumping the kinds of consideration on the basis of which you would think a foreign national seeking to study in the U.S. would be admitted.
Understood. We're talking with Barmak Nasirian, who's a former executive director, associate executive director of the American Association of Collegiate Registrars and Admissions Officers in Washington, D.C. George Trahanis is an international student advisor at ASA College in Manhattan. He's the primary designated school official working with the Department of Homeland Security to help students who are applying for visas. First of all, George, can you comment on this financial incentive argument that Barmak just suggested? And how did this Bangladeshi student, Quazi Muhammad Rezanul Ahsan Nafis, get to ASA College in Manhattan?
Well, he originally applied for a visa through the Southeastern College in Missouri and notified ASA that he wanted to transfer in for our semester beginning October 9th. He had to present financial support documents, valid passport, valid visa, transfer approval from the previous school, and all of the documents that he presented to us were in order.
And what does in order mean?
Everything was in compliance with federal regulations. The passport was valid. The visa was valid. He indicated that he had substantial financial support. And according to the USCIS guidelines, the transfer was approved.
But, George, I mean, there's not a space, I presume, on your documentation there at ASA College of Manhattan for do you have plans to blow up the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, right?
No, no. That onus, I think, would have rested on USCIS in terms of him being issued a visa in the first place. We are not like the first. We are not the first line of defense as far as that goes. But we had done everything according to the book, and again, we had no idea.
All right, all right. Barmak Nasirian, do institutions of higher learning have any responsibility to further question and monitor individuals on student visas, or if they qualify, as George has suggested, according to the letter of the law, that's it?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. I certainly don't want amateur hour. It doesn't make sense to assign to institutions of higher education a role for which they're not qualified. You know, look, U.S. consular officials overseas are, in fact, our first line of defense in terms of making these kinds of assessments. And then there's law enforcement here to follow up. My issue here is that when it comes to there were 250 million plus foreign nationals who visited the United States last year. Of that number, something on the order of 700,000 are in the country on student visas. So let's first take note of that fact, that student visas constitute a fairly small percentage of total visitor visas issued to foreign nationals. The problem here is that we have historically assumed that an individual who comes here on a student visa has already been screened very rigorously by an academic institution that has its own institutional integrity at stake, and that simply provides additional assurance that this is not a purpose of evasion. That assumption is increasingly under siege. Because
all right. Before we go, George and Barmak, I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Do you think this was an abuse of the system? George Trahanis, was this an abuse of the student visa system? Very quickly.
I believe it was.
Barmak Nasirian, how about you?
Absolutely.
All right. Barmak Nasirian is an independent consultant and former associate executive director of the American Association of Collegiate Registrars and Admissions Officers. And George Trahanis, international student advisor at ASA College in Manhattan, the college where Mr. Nafis was last registered right here in New York. George and Barmak, thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.